In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Mirror of justice, cause of our joy. I always begin with words of introduction, so some of you will have heard these things before, but it is helpful to have a reminder. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Novena to the Immaculate Conception, it is certainly worth a listen. From the very moment when our Blessed Savior ascended above the highest heavens to take his place at the right hand of the Father, the Church has always prayed novenas. A novena is a period of 9 days of prayerful preparation and petition. And we can have no doubt as to the divine inspiration of this practice. For the very first novena was counted from the Friday after Ascension through Whitsun Eve. We may also reckon a sort of novena to Christmas, formed by the great O Antiphons, from December 17th, then ending on the 23rd, which is followed by the Vigil of Christmas, and then Christmas Day. These are the only two novenas which figure officially on the Church's calendar. One a novena proper, the one from Ascension until Pentecost, and another one which ends on the feast day itself. But as divine providence would have it, the novena to the Immaculate Conception begins on the vigil of St. Andrew, first called among the fishers of men, ending on the eve of December 8th. To find the origins of this novena, we must go back all the way to the 15th century. In 1417, the Western Schism finally ended with the election of Martin V as Pope. Thus the Middle Ages was ended as well. But after that long century of turmoil, order finally seemed to be returning. Pope Martin V ordered the restoration of the ancient Roman Basilica of the Holy Apostles, which had existed since the 4th century, but had been destroyed by an earthquake a generation earlier. In 1474, this restored church was entrusted to the care of the conventual Franciscans. Only 2 years later, the feast of the Conception of Mary on December 8th was extended to the Universal Church. The Franciscans, those glorious defenders of the privilege of the Immaculate Conception since the Scholastic Age, were already celebrating this feast. And so when they came to the glorious Basilica of the Holy Apostles, they resolved to prepare for the celebration by a solemn novena. This novena took on a more solemn character as the generations passed. And we know that from the early 18th century, the custom has been in Rome for a cardinal or another Roman prelate to come each night of the novena to preach and celebrate solemn benediction. And this very evening, that novena began in the Eternal City. We have no cardinals among us here, at least not this week. We were certainly grateful for the fine preachers who are coming here to St. Mary's every night to proclaim the glories of our Immaculate Queen. And we share something else with that solemn novena celebrated in Rome, at our mother house in Gricigliano, and other houses of the Institute. The other feature of this novena, which is drawn from the Church's ancient treasures, a 4th-century hymn as old as that Roman Basilica of the Apostles, the hymn Tota Pokra Es, Yes, even before the Council of Ephesus proclaimed Mary to be the Mother of God, Christians were already applying to Our Lady in song the mystical words of the Canticle of Canticles. Thou art, O fair, O Mary, thou art, O fair, and there is not a spot in thee. How lovely, how sweet in its delights thy unstained conception. Come, O come from Lebanon, come, O come from Lebanon, thou shalt be crowned. This is the novena which our superiors knew when they were studying in Rome, as did our dear Bishop of La Crosse, the Most Reverend William Callahan. Every night they would go to the Basilica to assist at this novena. And this is the tradition that our superiors were intent on bringing to the community they founded, the Institute of Christ the King. Every year we choose a different theme under which we might consider the glories of Mary conceived without sin. And this year the topic that was chosen for our houses in the United States was Mary in fact and figure. That is, we will spend some time each evening considering particular invocations from the Litany of the Blessed Virgin, that litany which we will be singing every evening. We have considered the invocations of Our Lady under Virgo, Our Lady as Virgin, Our Lady as Queen, and Our Lady as Mother. This year we are considering the other invocations, some which portray Mary as fact, and others as figure. That is to say, certain of these invocations state a truth about the Blessed Virgin Mary, a truth which we confess very simply with divine faith, whereas others reveal to us a faith through a sign, through something that must be taken figuratively, but nevertheless refers to a hidden truth. And we begin the novena this evening by considering two of these invocations, each of which illustrates fact and figure. First, we consider the title applied to Our Lady in the Litany, Speculum Justitiae, Mirror of Justice. This is a figure applied to the Blessed Virgin Mary, where we understand, of course, that Our Lady is not literally a mirror, but can be called one in figure. What does this mysterious title mean? How is Our Lady the mirror of justice? To understand the meaning of this invocation, we must consider who is referred to as justice itself. And that is none other than he who is the Son of Justice, the Sol Justitiae, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The moon has always been understood from the most ancient times as a mirror of the sun. Even the ancients understood that the moon produced no light of its own, but drew all its light from the sun. And it is thus that we understand this title applied to Our Lady this evening, Speculum Justitiae. She is the mirror of the Sun of Justice. The rays of justice that come forth from him who is our Savior and one day our Judge shine forth through the Blessed Virgin Mary, the truth of our Savior Jesus Christ, the truth that he has come in the flesh as our Savior and will come again one day as our Judge, is a truth that comes to us through the Blessed Virgin Mary. He came 2,000 years ago through that mirror of justice, and in some way, which we do not yet fully comprehend, he will come again at the end of time through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But now in these long ages between the first and last coming of Christ, we have the coming of Christ by grace. And we understand then with the theologians that this too is through the Blessed Virgin Mary. All the graces that come forth to us through the Sacred Heart of Jesus come through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The rays of the Sun of Justice which shine upon us, which cause us to be righteous and remove us from the kingdom of darkness, come to us through that mirror of justice, that is, through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is thus that we see that juxtaposing this title, Speculum Justitiae, with that of the next title we consider is not simply accidental. They are very closely tied together, calling Our Lady Mirror of Justice and yet also Cause of Our Joy. This phrase, historically, is a very heavy one. It is of great importance. Indeed, we see that even the earliest fathers of the Church had such profound things to say on the subject of Our Blessed Mother that the later theologians could scarcely exceed their praises. To refer to Our Lady as causa nostra letizie, as cause of our joy, evokes a very similar title, which was invoked by the earliest fathers. Saint Irenaeus, already in the second century, dares to refer to Mary as causa nostra salutis. Mary, he says, by her cooperation with the redemptive work of God, became cause of our salvation. Yes, St. Irenaeus dares to employ this term, even though he knew full well that St. Paul applied that exact same term in the Epistle to the Hebrews to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. Yes, he is the cause of our salvation. Indeed, God is the first cause of all things. But another cause willed by God is a cause nonetheless. And so the Lord has willed, and so the earliest fathers understood, that the salvation won by Christ on the cross should come through to us through the cooperation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And thus, although our Lord Jesus Christ absolutely is the one who has brought to us the joy of eternal salvation, it has come to us nonetheless through the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is rightly called the cause of our joy, not at all in figure, but truly in fact. Venide Libano, come, O Mary, resplendent mirror of the Sun of Justice and cause of our joy. The God who caused light to shine out of darkness, creation to come forth from nothingness, now calls thee into existence by thy most holy and immaculate conception. The world thou art about to enter has only enmity for thee, for it is a poor world enslaved to a cruel master. But we know thee for our true friend, for it is thou who shalt crush the head of that serpent of sin, and so teach us to sing the hymn of deliverance, victory, and peace. Amen.